And then Rose gave up on doctors, stopped taking her meds, and we went home. It wasn't defiance. It wasn't nihilism. It was an easy decision for her. Just one day, well, we gave it a go, and then she was done. Without the side effects of all the different medications, she was a bit more like her normal self. Still weak, still dying, but she could get out of bed again, go about her daily life a bit. A few weeks after we got home from Glasgow, she wanted to go away again. One last holiday, she said. One I should have taken years ago. She wanted to go to former Colombia. Before the reckoning, the Americas were divided up into a bunch of different countries. Of course you know this. I'm sure everyone in development centers is taught about what the world was like before the reckoning and how important it is that it doesn't return to that way of being. These two continents were brutally colonized, the northern half by former England and the southern by former Spain and Portugal. And then there was migration between the two. It's an interesting thing to think about, at least I think so. The society tries so hard to make sure that we don't lose our cultures, even without borders, without countries, but we just learn about them in school. Rose grew up in a childhood center surrounded by other children from the American continent with a wide variety of different cultural heritages. You are Colombian, she was told. You are genetically descended from people who moved from former Colombia to the former United States. And so she was taught about what it meant to be Colombian. But that's only part of the story, isn't it? When she was descended from Spanish settlers and from the Tucana people the Spanish settlers had displaced and oppressed. There isn't an easy history, an easy culture to communicate, not for anyone. We are all the result of thousands of years of history, of changing traditions, of merging and shifting identities. The society tells us that nationalism is an evil, that we must set our backs to it, lest it drive us apart once more. But they're really only talking about the 100 years or so before the reckoning. Before that, there were kingdoms and city-states and tribes and empires. Borders changing through battles and marriages, cultures merging, influencing each other, separating again. We all want to know where we come from, but how far back is it reasonable to look, and in how many different directions? That's how Rose put it, but I'm not sure it's really what she meant. What she meant was more dangerous, I think, to the society. What she meant was, what must it have been like to learn about your culture, your heritage, organically from your parents? Who learned it from theirs, who learned it from theirs, letting it grow and change naturally as the people within it grew and changed. It's still Reuben's Bakery in Miami. It's not owned or operated by any Reubens. It has all the recipes and it's delicious. But what would it mean to allow the Reuben family to carry on their culinary traditions? From Prague to New York to Miami, from father to daughter, from mother to son. Baking is a science, sure, but you cannot bake without love. There is a difference between knowledge that is passed down by recipe cards or instruction and that gained by growing up watching your parents knead bread and smoke meat every day. You learn your culture as you live your culture. Rose started to wonder if family was important. So she wanted to go to Colombia. Sorry, former Colombia. To get as close to that as she could. And so I wanted to bring you here because, by extension, it is also your heritage. Although I should have also taken you to Spain, I suppose. But I never went there myself. Wasn't sure what I'd even have to tell you about it. So, Anita, I think that means you should go on your own. find Spain for yourself one day. I hear it is a nice country. Madrid, maybe. Well, Rose didn't know what part of Colombia her people had come from, of course, only that they had later moved to an area of the United States called Texas at some point before the reckoning. Rose chose the Colombian city of Medellin, and we came here for a month. She always dove into the culture of everywhere we went, and so, even if she hadn't wanted to learn more about herself, she would have done the same. But there was an intensity to her on this trip. I don't know if it was a greater determination to soak in the place, or if it was the unavoidable fact that this would be our last trip. That if she survived for long enough to travel home, it would be a gift. We tried the food, we learned how people danced here, we went to museums and art galleries, we sat for hours with people we'd just met, learning about their lives. It was a normal holiday, aside from the fact that Rose's energy flagged a lot faster than it used to, aside from the fact that, although we didn't mention it, we were both just waiting for her to die. I don't think she really learned anything that changed how she saw herself. But then, she was always very comfortable with who she was, and I don't think that was ever going to change. Give me a minute, okay? You could say that Rose had given up, but sorry, I feel guilty. Being grateful that she didn't keep fighting to the end because she would have died in the hospital, barely conscious in her last few weeks, every day a new drug. Instead, we had this time. Am I wrong to be glad that we had this time, even though we only had it because... No. No, wait, that's not it. I'm not glad. I'm not grateful. I'm sorry. Let me collect myself.
Tired of walking around shirtless because you don't have a single upper body article of clothing that expresses your intense love of the immersive fiction podcast Within the Wires? Are you having to scrawl the words Within the Wires on your chest with a faded Sharpie you found at the bottom of your backpack one day, but it's hard to write upside down so the letters are mostly illegible and you misspelled wires as Ryas? Do you find that damselfly logo hard to draw, especially on skin? Well, stop that. Actually, don't stop that. I think it's pretty cool you went through so much trouble to show your love of our show. Thank you. But I personally, just me, find t-shirts much more convenient for that sort of thing. And we have brand new Within the Wires shirts in our store. The incomparable Emily Tatt designed a damselfly shirt that glows in the damn dark, and the impeccable Dave Watt created a Season 3 dictaphone recording device shirt that looks like a cool retro film poster. Plus, we have Rob Wilson's classic Within the Wires logo shirt, and his Season 2 museum shirts, which are
arty as hell.
Maybe you're also tired of the walls in your home or dorm or office being shirtless as well, and you want to cover them up. Come on, walls. I have friends coming over. Try to look decent. Well, you can buy your walls some posters, like the Within the Wires logo or Jessica Hayworth's stunning rendition of Claudia Atieno's Child with Damselfly, as featured in Season 2. It's a real art print. It's classier than all get out. You can get shirts and posters at withinthewires.com and then click on shirts and posters. That's a lot of complicated steps, so I recommend writing them down on your arm using that old Sharpie. Again, withinthewires.com, click on shirts and posters.
I think I'm angrier here than I was in Glasgow. That doesn't make any sense. Glasgow makes me miserable because I was miserable while I was there. I was desperate and exhausted and so mad all the time. But Medellin is peaceful. The weather is gorgeous. It was where we took our last great trip together. On days when Rose didn't have the strength to go outside, we'd have tea and sit quietly, looking at the mountains. This isn't Glasgow. When I walk around Medellin, I don't see places where I broke down in tears while Rose was lying in a hospital bed. I see sunlit street corners, lined with fruit stands and clothing shops, where she stood brow furrowed trying to figure out our route. I see restaurants where she laughed with waiters while pretending she knew more about wine than she actually did. I see her on our balcony, throwing her head back laughing, her hair glinting in the moonlight. She lived as she always had lived, joyful and open. You would have never thought she was dying. You would have never thought she was about to leave me forever. Why? Why was she like that? Why was she acting like that? She knew she only had a couple of months left. She knew I only had a couple of months left with her, and she treated it like any other trip. Our whole relationship, our marriage, our life together, and she was acting like it didn't matter that it was ending. Good while it lasted, I suppose, but now it's over. How dare she? How dare she act like her death wasn't important, like it was a tiny inconvenience? How could it all mean so little to her? She was my whole life, and she walked away from everything. The only things left of her are my memories. And you. I can't bear it, Anina. I can't bear to leave this world too, and know that I take all of her with me. I need to give her to you, so something remains, because otherwise, what is the point? I think this must have been easier in the past. All of our lives connected in a trail back into time. We must have been built by memories of those who loved us, who raised us, who were in turn built by our ancestors. And when we died, we didn't fully leave. We lingered in the memories of our children. We were passed on to those who came after in infinitesimal ways, making the world into something different without truly knowing it. But now we just live. We impact those around us while we're alive, but when we die, we leave so little. And what we leave is never passed on beyond the people who knew us. Why is family important, Anita? Ask that. Always ask that. Once we're gone, there's nothing at all. We may as well have never lived. I can't let that happen to Rose. Do you understand? She was happy to go without looking back. She was happy to leave the world completely empty of her, but I can't allow it. I won't. I need you to carry her for me. I need to know that someone still remembers her, still understands her. It's too much of a burden. I don't know how to do it. There's so much to tell you and so much I can never tell you. How can I put it into words? I brought you to all these places because I don't know how to introduce you to a mother who is dead and who you were never allowed to know in the first place. If I can show you a beach she sunbathed on, can you feel the warmth on her skin? If I take you to a bar she drank endless old fashions in, can you taste the bourbon that hit her lips? If I talk to you of the art she loved, of the books she read, of the jokes she made, does that build a full person in your mind? Maybe, but I suspect it's not an accurate one. Just a list of facts, just a timeline in a biography. We are too much for this, all of us. We are too much to describe, too much to know even. It haunts me. The fact that I can't make you see her, not fully, not completely. It's like I've taken a photo of her, just one moment of her captured on film, and then I've traced it in pencil and posted it to you. Incomplete. Impossible to complete. Maybe I just miss her. Though, it's more than that. I need to know that someone else will miss her, too. Is that even possible? Can I will my grief to you? I would, you know, if I could. It's not a noble sentiment. I would want another person to feel this kind of pain. But I do. I would force it down your throat if I could. What are we but the influence we have on other people? And what does that make us when there is no one left to be influenced? God, this is a bitter journey I've taken you on. I didn't realize it would be. I didn't mean it to be. I meant it to be full of joy. I hope you've found joy, in spite of me. Oh, I'm running out of tape here, and this is the last one I had planned. I'm sorry. There's only one place left to go. I hope you're still with me. It's not so far from home for you. It'll be the easiest trip, and the most important. Of course it's the most important, that's why it's the last one. Go to the town of Palo Duro. It's not far from your home. It's not far from your own home in Amarillo. Isn't that strange? We lived only a couple hours south of you, all these years, and I didn't even know it until a year ago. Rose never knew it at all. If she had known, if she had seen you, I think she would have remembered. Your face would have made her remember. Come to Palo Duro. I won't be there anymore. I'm probably already gone. You are listening to this long after I left it here in Medellin, of course. When I get home, I'm going to record two tapes. The first I'll send to you to start your journey. It's strange how I felt like you're following me this whole time, but really you don't even know about me yet. And then I'll record the last tape for the end. When you get to Palo Duro, go to Morning Pages. It's my shop, you remember? It was my shop. Ask for Gael. Currently, he's the only person working there, but that may have changed by the time you get here. He'll give you a package containing the last tape. My last tape. My farewell.
Within the Wires is written by Janina Mathewson and me, Jeffrey Craner, with original music by Mary Epworth. Find more of Mary's music at maryepworth.com. This show was produced by me and directed this season by Janina. The voice of Elena Jimenez is April Ortiz. Support our Patreon and get exclusive episodes and video chats with me and Janina at patreon.com/withinthewires. Also, read our novel set in the Within the Wires universe. It's called You Feel It Just Below the Ribs. It is available wherever you get your books. Within the Wires is part of Night Vale Presents. Listen to other amazing shows at nightvalepresents.com. Okay, our time is done. It's you time now. Time to take a trip. Hitch a ride on a wheelbarrow to the city of Auckland, commonly referred to by locals as Hotlanta, and go see their famous landmark, the Roadside Couch.
Alice Isn't Dead is a horror thriller road trip from the team behind Welcome to Night Vale, and starring Jessica Nicole of Fringe and Night Vale. A truck driver searches the country for the long-lost wife she thought was dead, but Alice isn't dead. If you love American Gods or Stephen King or Night Vale, you'll love this show. The entire series available to binge now wherever you listen to podcasts.